Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Chase McCabe, Kenny Adams here with you. Intern Nick as well on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Reacting to a Game 2 loss for the Predators. 2-1 in overtime last night. Cale Makar, the game winner for the Avalanche. And the Predators down 0-2 as they come back to Nashville now for Games 3 and 4. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Predators. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Paul. Paul, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Thanks, guys. Wow, I couldn't disagree with the last caller more, really. And I don't want to be an extreme reactor fan, but here I go.
That starts at 2.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I'm not going to scream fire Hines and all that stuff.
That's also a 2.
Yeah, I'm fully aware. Man, the Avs are running drills in the offensive zone while we need an act of God to get it across the blue line. Maybe the score outside of the first period of the first game has been close, but the play hasn't. It's been a disaster, and I really feel like this is a situation where Forsberg is playing extremely frustrated, and it's going to be an excuse used based on the production to let him walk away, not give him what he wants. And it's just, it's really, really painful to watch. I don't see much to be optimistic. We're way too outgunned in this series. It's the best case scenario looks like stealing a game, maybe, but looks like drastic changes need to be made to get to the level of a playoff contender. Hey. Competitive rebuild stuff is not real.
Hey, thanks for the call, Paul. We appreciate it. I mean, it's one of those things, too, where you look at I hear what he's saying about Forsberg playing frustrated. Like, some of that is he's trying to do way too much. Like, there was a play last night where he's got the puck on the wall, and he's trying to chip it past someone and go fetch it in the neutral zone, kind of like that chip off the wall, give and go to yourself, and it gets knocked down at the blue line. You don't get the puck out. And I want to say the Predators took a penalty on that play, but I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look.
Right.
It was either a penalty they took on the play or Connor Ingram had to be outstanding, as he was all night in that game on that play. And it's just – sometimes the best answer is simplify.
Yeah.
Simplify. And it's so easy to get lulled into when things aren't going well and when Colorado's dominating the play to the level which they are. It's so easy for me, for guys like Josi and Forsberg, to think that they've got to do everything. And really, when it comes down to it, that's the time where you don't need them to do that. Like,
no.
They've got to make the simple plays that are right there in front of them.
You just got to keep playing your game. I think that's a really, really good point, because I do think there are so many times where Forsberg or Josi especially, they'll look behind him and think they see a red cape and they have to be Superman, and it's just they don't. Just keep playing your game, slow things down, play at your pace, and eventually good things will happen. When you know, whatever phrase you want to use, grip the stick too tight, what have you. When you start doing that and trying to do too much that's beyond your capabilities, that's when mistakes start happening. And, you know, Hal and I asked Hal about it yesterday on the show, and he said Josi does that. I mean, that's a leader. That's how he's wired. He's the captain. You know, he's trying to do the right thing. But if he's trying to do too much, it's just going to stack up on him. And you know, the thing with Forsberg, though, I don't know if that's really necessarily all the problem right now. It just, there is something off with him. I do think there have been a couple of examples where he's been trying to get too fancy when it's simply just wrangle the puck and, you know, take it into the net and go shoot. I noticed with him last night that the puck would get too far in front of him and then he would lose control of it.
Yep.
That happened a couple of times. And I don't know if that's just because he's trying to force it down ice and he just can't keep up with it because he's gassed because of what we were talking about with what Colorado does to him. But just slow it down. You know, that's what you have to do. That's easier said than done with this team.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Colorado. But that's what you have to try to do.
Well, there's a major speed difference out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and look, McKinnon's kind of his own thing because, you know, that play last night – when Lozon pinches up and the puck squeaks by him and McKinnon's got it, I mean, the guy looks like he's shot out of a cannon, and he's doing that while he's carrying the puck. Like, McKinnon is on the very short list of guys that can move at the speed that he does in the NHL. Now, Cale Makar is on that list too. He can burn too. But that's going back to, like, we've been talking for the last month about Colorado or Calgary, Colorado or Calgary. And everybody talked about, you know, obviously the top-end talent that we see with Colorado being the main difference with guys like McKinnon and Rantanen and all this stuff, and I get it. Really, the reason I wanted to avoid Colorado if I were the Predators is how dynamic their defensemen are. And it's not just right. Makar. Devon Toews is a really good player. Sammy Girard moves the puck really well. You got Byram in there now too. Eric Johnson's been around for a long time. I mean, they're so deep on defense, and the Predators, I thought they would be able to generate more offense than they've done. And I'm not just talking strictly on the scoreboard, but offensive looks and chances. I thought the way that this team is built and the way that they've played all year long, that they would be able to generate more offense, and it hadn't happened through the first two games.
Yeah, and at this point, I don't really know how it's going to. Just what I've seen out of the first two games, you know, it's one thing for us to sit here and say, well, they need to do this and they need to do that, and, you know, Forsberg's got to try and slow things down. Colorado's just not allowing you to do any of that, and that's the problem. At the end of the day, when you have to pick one thing, that's what it is, that this team is controlling everything that they want to control, and I don't know how you stop that.
Well, Michael from Hermitage on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, brings up, I think, a good point, and I noticed this last night too. It kind of started for me late in the second period, and then it was a pretty consistent theme in the game after that. The stretch passes. Like, you're trying for way too many home run passes. I mean, they hit on one in game one from Granlund to Duchesne, and when it works, it's great, and it looks awesome, and, you know, you can cover a lot of ground with a 110-foot stretch pass if it works out. But I thought too often last night they were trying for that stretch pass out of the zone, and guys are too far away, and Colorado's either just picking it off or they're keeping it in the zone. Like, sometimes you just got to say, hey, get back and have some support on the puck. Even if it's a 10-foot pass, just get out of the zone, and you can live to fight another day. There's too many, you know, blind stretch passes that they're trying right now.
Yeah, and I think they're gonna have to figure something out with that, because, like we said, they're not going to outspeed Colorado. And that's what they're trying to do there. They're trying to get those home run passes to try and get in front of them, and they're just not going to do it. They see it from a mile away. And so that's why I think trying to play more of a simple game is what's going to be beneficial to the Predators. It's, again, though, is Colorado going to allow you to do that? I mean, they are so up in their grill right now that anything that the Preds try, Colorado has an answer for. It's going to take those greasy, just fluky goals at times, I think, for them to be able to get back in this.
Adam in Portland on the text line says, great job from the boys bouncing back and giving maximum effort. The Avs are a lot better than we are. They're faster and have a lot more depth, but Ingram looked like Pekka last night. And even if we get swept, it's nice to know that they had some fight in them. This is coming from Adam in Portland on the text line. It was quite the performance from Connor Ingram last night. We'll get back into that coming up next. Welcome more of your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. To celebrate summer concert season, get $25 all-in tickets to more than 50 shows in the Nashville area for 1 week only. Text in the keyword SUMMER to the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win. Special offer runs now through May the 10th. Get more info at livenation.com/concert week. Taking your thoughts on the Preds on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Ryan from Hermitage. Ryan, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. Other than Ingram's outstanding performance, one thing I still don't get why he keeps doing it, but I understand he wants the muscle, but we're playing against speed in the lineup over Tomasino. Tomasino should have been playing last night, and the way he played in game, we got our butts whooped, but he was getting to the front of the net when he was sneaking through because they weren't paying attention to him, and they weren't even looking for him because they thought they'd just blow him up because of his size and his experience in the playoffs. But playing him, Olivier Obey, we don't need that much muscle when we can't even catch Colin.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ryan. We appreciate it. It's one of those things with the Tomasino part of this. Like, I understand the frustration of him not being in there. Now, I don't agree with Ryan's assessment there in game one that, like, Tomasino was just, like, floating free to the net. Like, he didn't have a shot on goal. Whole line didn't have a shot on goal in game one. So, it's not like they're out there lighting it up. But I said this earlier, Chase. Like, to me, I don't really know what Matthew Olivier is accomplishing in this series. Like, I understand it's fourth line, so it's right now. I mean, yesterday the fourth line was Cousins, McCarron, and Olivier. And
I mean, McCarron's not really doing anything.
It wasn't
either.
Going well out there. So I understand the frustration with having Olivier in there in this series, and I'd certainly, you know, I'd have Tomasino back there in game three. Like, when I saw he wasn't in yesterday, my first thought was, like, did he get hurt at the end of game one? Because I know that he got into basically a shoving match that he started along the boards. And I was like, did he hurt something in that when that was going on? But I would expect he'll probably be back in there for game three. That would be
I would
guess.
Hope
you
so.
You need some offense,
the,
man.
The only thing that – so I looked – you know, they started the game, and I'm like, all right, 28's in. Okay, cool. I didn't even look at Twitter. I was just, you know, turned the game on because I had been watching other games and was on the phone and other things. So I turned the game on, and I see 28. I'm like, all right, cool. I see three. All right, they did that. And then I didn't think anything of it. And Jared texted me, and he was like, what is going on here? And I was like, what are you talking about? And I go, well, he left, you know, Tomasino out. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And that's when I realized it. And, yeah, I don't agree with that decision. I'm not a coach. You know, John Hines is the coach. I get trying – if you're going to have any threat of slowing them down at all, it's playing the physical game. But, like we said, that fourth line was just bodies. You know, I mean, that's what they were at this point. You know, Cousins had a couple of plays – that I noticed that there were good plays, but that was about it. I noticed more bad plays from that line than I did good. So I would put Tomasino back in, go ahead and take Olivier out, leave Tolvanen in at this point, leave Lauzon in at this point, and see what you got.
Dave in Big Rock texting in says, is it fair to say that the Avalanche have mentored the Predators through these first two games? Is it fair to say that the Avalanche have mentored the Predators the first two games? Well done, Dave.
It's well done. That's good.
Very nicely done.
Is UC Saros mentoring Connor Ingram right now?
I don't know.
It's not his job, you know, if you ask Ryan Tannehill. But
I don't know. If he did a pretty good job of it last night. Connor Ingram looked good.
You know, speaking of that subject, we're not going to beat that dead horse. D-Mace was in fuego yesterday.
I saw that.
About that. D-Mace on fire.
I saw that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bicycle Boy. Bicycle Boy, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, fellas. First of all, thanks for the realistic opinion of the last couple of games. Sorry, I'm hoarse because I was yelling at the TV.
We understand.
You know, I don't get all the sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns that I keep seeing on social media. You know, you guys have nailed it as far as the way we're playing. But here's an observance I noticed last night, and tell me if you agree. I've seen all this stuff about Ingram and what a spectacular game. I thought he played a good game. But here's the biggest difference I'm seeing between he and Soros. Soros is like the ninja goalie. He's like quick. He's rarely out of position. I mean, when he makes a save, he's immediately back in position and ready to go. I even saw some posts where they were comparing Ingram to Rene. He's got a long way to go before he gets to Rene, but he's just he played a good game. He would make saves, but to me, he was slow to get back in position, and I thought he got lucky on a few of those saves. But what do you think?
Hey, thanks for the call. I mean, look, it's hard for me to pick apart anything Connor Ingram did last night. I'm not saying that he's UC Soros or anything like that, but it's hard, in my opinion, Chase. I think it's hard to play much better in goal than he played last night. He was really good.
Yeah, I'm not.
He's not perfect, and he did get lucky on a couple of them, but
that's part also of the playoffs.
Well, part of being lucky in goal is being in the right position. You got to be in the right position to be lucky most of the time.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Sometimes.
I mean, that's. I'm not going to take anything away from Connor Ingram. I can't get on board with that because he's the reason that game went to overtime last night. If he doesn't play the way he played last night, we're sitting here today probably talking about a 4-1 loss. I mean, that's simple. So I'm not going to subscribe to that. I think the guy played his heart out and deserved to win the game and unfortunately didn't.
I got a text that says, I don't know if you've heard the stat, but during the game they said we were the only team in the NHL led in points by a defenseman this year. That's why we're down 0-2. I mean,
I hear you. You're also the only team that had 40 goal scorers.
Well, you're also the only team that has a defenseman that had 96 points. So it's not your average run of the mill being led. Like, there are some years where Roman Josi's led the team in points with, like, what, 60, 65? Yeah. That's a little bit different than when you put up 96 like he did this year.
Yeah, and you had Duchesne and Forsberg had 86 and 84 respectively. Like, that's
three
not
out of the
bad.
Top four highest scoring point totals by a single player were this year from the Predators.
Yeah. Yeah, the first time in their history they had five players over 60. So, like, I'm not gonna.
No, it's fair to say. I know Duchesne scored twice in game one, but it's fair to say now that you're two games into the series, hey, where are those guys? Why haven't they been a little bit more dangerous offensively? But I don't think that Roman Josi leading them in points is the problem here. They need more depth. And look, I've said it. I thought the Herd line. I thought they had their moments last night. Obviously, Trennan scored. They had a couple of good looks after that. Like, Trennan, the shift after he scored the goal, the Herd line was awesome. Like, they had a great shift right after they scored that goal. So they had their moments last night, but it's just too few and far between right now. And the Johansson line, it's just brought nothing so far.
Well, okay, so I'll put it like this. And whenever we use the phrase of we'll have time to talk about the offseason, it's an excuse because I want to talk about the offseason. Like, that's what it is. I think we both agree, because we've talked about it, that if they can get Forsberg done, okay, the top line's fine. Like, you need to see more out of them right now in this playoff series. But I think what would help that along is if you had a legitimate second line.
Yes.
Tomasino, to me, is a part of that equation. I think he's developing fine. He had a really good rookie year. I would be totally comfortable with keeping him in that position if you can go out and get a legitimate second line winger that can score goals. And then if you have two top legit lines, the Herd's fine how the Herd is. Now, Janot can be a swing guy. Janot can be your Craig Smith that can move. I think that's exactly what he is. He's Craig Smith with more grit. And, you know, he'll be good for 20 goals or more every year, but can also drop him if he needs to, throw elbows, all those things. And then you put your fourth line together, and then – you got to address the defense. I think the defense needs some work too, but that's where we're at. And it shows you, like, that all sounds simple, that it's really a couple of pieces. And I hate that phrase, they're just a couple of pieces away, because I think they've always been that way. But if you can address those things, then this could be a completely different series.
Well, I agree.
I mean, you're still going to be outmatched. Colorado's still the better team, but you might have more of a fighting chance if you had two legit scoring lines.
Well, right now, and we were talking about matchups earlier, right, Chase? Right now, if you're Bednar, like, you don't really have much to think about. Like, there's Forsberg, Duchesne together on a line, and Granlund's been the center. Even if they changed it up, let's say that they put Johansson back with them in the next game. Even more so, you're just kind of loading up if you're John Hines there. there's not really much to think about there if you're Jared Bednar. It's like, all right, well, we're going to put our best defenseman out against that line as often as we can, and we're going to try to shut those guys down. And they've been able to do it through the first two games. Again, I understand that Matt Duchene scored two goals in the first game, but it's not been very much in terms of the offense that's been generated by those guys. If you have somebody else on the second line that could score along with Ryan Johansson, then you got a little bit more to think about if you're Jared Bednar there. And right now, that's just – it's very easy. You say – and I'm not saying it's easy to shut down Forsberg and Duchene. That's not what I'm saying. But from a matchup standpoint, you don't have to think too hard about it.
Right, because you know that you only have one offensive – like truly offensive line that you have to shut down. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know there's not really another threat. And so the Predators are in try and steal one mode and get a lucky one to go in. And like, to your point earlier, Trennan, okay, he made a good play, but, like, you kind of got lucky on that whole sequence for it to go in because the defenseman made a mistake.
Yeah.
Sam Girard.
Joining ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. You can sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. Got a whole lot more to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. These words are my own.
Threw some chords together. I almost don't want to talk. I love this song.
I know.
Welcome back in, Robbie.
Bringing the jams today.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A family four-pack of tickets to the Franklin Rodeo at the Williamson County Ag Expo Park coming up on Thursday, May 19th. Be caller 5-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a family four-pack of tickets to the Franklin Rodeo at the Williamson County Ag Expo Park coming up on Thursday, May 19th, 615-737-1025. Chase, did you see apparently somebody in New York put up like $164,000 on FanDuel Sportsbook last night for the Predators to win the game against Colorado?
I did see that.
You think it was stressful for us to watch the overtime? Imagine having $164,000 on the line watching.
No, see, I'm going to disagree. If you're rich enough to have $164,000 to just
throw out there,
piss away, basically, is what they did. then I don't think you're nervous.
That was
amazing. You go back to the safe and go, all right, we're good.
I mean, if the Preds would – all it took was an overtime goal. He'd have won I think it was $550 around there.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. That would have been nice.
You're just disgusted.
No, like, I just it goes back to if I was ever that rich. You know, somebody asked me one time, if you were just filthy rich, would you still, like, want to go to Vegas and, you know, bet and everything? And I say, heck yeah, I would. I mean – like I'd be playing in the high roller blackjack room, playing 500 a hand, and just not even batting an eye. I was sitting at a table. I was sitting at the normal people table, one time in Vegas, and this guy sat down, and he literally like cashed in for probably $5,000, and so we were already impressed.
Yeah,
and he just plops $500 worth of chips down. And we're like, okay, like, why are you playing with us? Like, we're, because the whole table tensed up. Like, okay, this guy's got a lot of shekels here. And play a little bit. And then he just, like, I can tell he gets bored. And he kind of goes all in.
Yeah.
And so I want to say within everything there was probably $2,000 tied in, I mean, close to the max that you could play at this table. And I was like, oh, my.
Oh, makes me nervous just thinking about it.
I was nervous just thinking about it.
Donovan from Wisconsin texting in says, is it safe to say Ingram will start until Saros comes back? Yeah. I'd hope so. After last night?
I don't think it's a stretch to say
I don't think it's a stretch. I think we've probably, barring a collapse or obviously injury that we don't wish on anyone, probably have seen the last of Dave Riddick in net for the Predators would be my guess. Yeah,
probably so.
It's just my guess.
Yeah, I am curious of, is there a hangover, so to speak, of, you know, just you put so much into game two.
Yeah.
If you're Connor Ingram is it a lot on you? Excuse me. Is it a lot to bounce back? Now, the thing that helps him is you're going to be at home, and this fan base is going to be so behind him after that performance in game two that, you know, that's certainly going to help things. But, you know, he's a young player. He's never been in this situation before. So, you know, how does he respond to it? You have no idea.
Well, and, you know, we talked about it earlier.
Need somebody to mentor him.
Well, there is that. I've seen every playoff game the Predators have ever played in. It was an all-time great Predators playoff performance last night from Connor Ingram. I mean, we've seen a lot of those before. I mean, obviously, Pekka's had a few of them. You know, Vokoun had a few of them against Detroit. Dan Ellis had, you know, over 50 saves in Game 5 against Detroit back in 08. I mean, there have been a lot of really good performances by Predators goaltenders in the playoffs. I would put the one up last night up there. I mean, Connor Ingram was incredible last night, especially when you factor in the quality of opponent, how much time the opponent spent in the offensive zone. I mean, it honestly was kind of shades of 2011 Vancouver a little bit last night, where the Predators, quite frankly,
had
no business being in that series, and Pekka Rinne was the reason that they were. You know, Ingram was that good last night. Now, he was that good, and it's great. My question is, can he be that good again? Like, can you play that well again in games 3 or 4? Hopefully you don't have to, and you don't have to be just on your total A game every time you're out there. But just based on the way the first two games have gone, it's difficult for me to believe that it's not going to require a goaltender to be great for the Predators to win a game here.
I got to give Jared credit for this one. He just texted me and said Connor Ingram had his LeBradford Smith game last night.
Yes, very nice.
That's a good one. Pulling one out of thin air.
Yes. Why are you up, Jared?
But he's always awake. But I think that I just want to see the bounce back. I want to see the bounce back by the whole team, you know, because that was I think that was a heartbreaker last night to know that you were in it. You were in it till the very end, even though you were getting absolutely peppered and playing with fire and eventually you got burnt. You were still in that game till the end. You forced it to overtime. So is that extra motivation coming back home, or is it just too much for you? You know, is this team like already in their own head and they know that they're just outmatched in every way? That's the response. That's what I want to see. I want to see what that response looks like when they suit up tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena for an earlier game. You know, that's another thing. Like that, you know, what does that do? What does the time change do? You know, they'll come home this morning and so have a little bit of recovery time. I wouldn't even, if I'm John Hines, I wouldn't even touch the ice. Just, you know, after last night, but because you kind of know what you know at this point. It's just if you're the coaching staff, you're thinking about, you know, the lineup.
Well, and now how does the lineup change heading into game three? And one thing that we've not talked about yet is Mark Borowiecki. He left the game late in the third period last night and did not play, won back there in overtime. So is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be ready to go in game three? If not, I mean, Lozon was in there last night. I thought he made a really bad play, bad decision on the first goal by Colorado. And it looked like, you know, Lozon had to leave the game for a little while last night. It looked like he took like a skate blade to the face, which just looked awful. But obviously, he'll be in there next game. If Borowiecki can't go, I mean, I assume the third pair at that point is Lozon and Benning. But, you know, that's another thing to keep an eye on.
As long as we don't see Harper, we'll, you know. Yeah.
Jeez. Get down to Ben Harper in this series. Oh, boy.
Not good.
In this matchup, not going to go well. But then is Tomasino back in there? Tolvanen came back in last night, and I thought he was totally invisible, he's been for way too often this year. So, again, it's hard for me in performances like this to single too many guys out because it's the whole team right now.
Sure.
They're just struggling getting the puck, but – there are way too many guys right now that are not factors whatsoever, and you can't have that anyway. You certainly can't have that against Colorado, and I get it. Colorado, deserves a lot of the credit for that because they are taking some of these guys out of the game. But you're almost – it feels like the Predators lineup-wise have been searching for it for the last few weeks. This is not just a playoff thing. Like, they've been really searching for that ideal look and that ideal lineup, and they just hadn't found it. And – I don't know if you're just going to magically find it in Game 3.
No, I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier of you don't have a true second line, and you're defense, I think, you know, improving the third pair should be something that they look at. But you can't fix that right now. It's, you know, there's no secret weapon that's walking through that door. So you got to go with what you got.
Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your thoughts, encourage your participation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We did not have called shots last week because of the A.J. Brown situation. I don't know if you saw this, Chase, but A.J. Brown got traded last week.
I heard that.
From the Titans to the Philadelphia Eagles. So with that in mind, let's kick off a brand new week here. Chase McCabe, would you like to lead us off today here on Call Your Shot Friday?
I would be happy to. This is what I'm going to do. I was thinking about this earlier, and to use my gambling terms here, I'm going to put a little parlay together. But my called shot is this.
Okay.
The Nashville Predators, Nashville Soccer Club, and the Memphis Grizzlies will all win this weekend.
Oh, I like that.
Preds will win tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. SC will win Sunday at Geodis Park, and the Grizz will win tomorrow night in San Francisco.
Wow. I like that.
There you go.
The parlay put together by Chase McKay.
Tennessee's teams. The okay. Tennessee three-step, as my friend Rick would call it.
The Tennessee three-step. I like that. All right. Do you have any other called shots, or those are your called shots?
Those are, to be honest with you, I thought we were just doing one.
No, so that's fine. You can do as many as you want or as little as you want.
That is my called shot.
All right, my called shots for this week are this. This is a dangerous place for me to be as a fan because it's difficult for me to allow myself to believe, because sometimes your heart gets broken. I think back to the Green Bay Packers just getting it ripped out against San Francisco. I'm a big Miami Heat guy.
You're still not over that.
I'm not ever going to be over that, especially now that Devontae Adams is gone. I'm a big Miami Heat guy. And I think they're going to win the NBA title. I think the Miami Heat will win the NBA championship. They're so loaded. Like, they don't have the superstar guys, but they got a lot of really good players. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero just got named the sixth man of the year in the NBA. He came off the bench the other night and put up like 30 against Philadelphia. They are really solid from top to bottom. And I think they have maybe the most underrated coach in all of sports. Is that too much of a hot take? I don't know. Eric Spoelstra is a Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, he didn't get it. I don't think he gets enough credit.
Yeah, nobody ever talks about it. But he is incredible. So the Miami Heat will win the NBA championship.
I think that's a good one. Yeah, I think to your point on Spoelstra, I feel like Pat Riley gets a lot of the credit from the early days that Spoelstra probably deserves.
Well, you know, they won two titles with LeBron, and everybody's like, well, okay.
Well, it's LeBron.
They won LeBron.
Yeah.
And LeBron, since then, has come out and been like, yeah, you know, Eric Spoelstra's a pretty darn good coach.
Yeah, he wasn't the just throw the ball out there type of coach.
John Morant will score 40 in Game 3 for the Grizzlies.
So you're going to say back-to-back games with
back-to-back games 40 with 40. We'll save who I think is going to win in Game 3 coming up a little bit later in weekend winners. But tomorrow night when the Grizzlies take on the Warriors in Game 3, which, by the way, can we discuss how there was no NBA playoff game last night?
Yeah,
in the second round. How does this happen?
I don't get that. Well, I think probably the big reason was TNT had the hockey.
Well, there's
and
that.
So, you know. It just hit me the other day. This is how slow I am with this stuff. That ESPN and Turner have both the NHL and the NBA playoffs, which is a pretty good situation for them to be in.
Certainly not bad.
Not bad at all.
Philip Forsberg will score two goals in game three. Count them. Two. Not one. Ooh. Two goals in game three for Philip Forsberg. I feel like that's a shot. Earlier in the year, people would have said, well, okay, Philip Forsberg scoring twice. Is that really a shot? I think it's a shot right now. I would like to see if Philip Forsberg can get, you know, two shots on goal coming up in game three.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. Okay, I'll add another one.
All right.
UC Saros will return in game four.
Okay. All right.
Not tomorrow.
All right.
Game four.
I like that.
Which will create, if my first called shot comes true, that will create a talking point for us on Monday. It's like, well, hey, Ingram's done enough, and they just won a game. Do you really want to do that?
The answer is yes, you want to do that.
Yeah,
if he's completely healthy.
Yeah.
And finally, my final called shot for this week, Tennessee will lose this weekend series to Kentucky.
Wow.
Now, they lost last night. So they're 0-1 so far. But typically, you expect them to bounce back. They've not lost a series yet in the SEC. Tennessee will lose. I feel like they're in a bit of a cold streak right now. Like, they're just kind of – they've cooled off a little bit. Now, you got, obviously, Dolander coming back in there. Tidwell's done really well. So the rotation is going to be interesting for Vitello to figure out as they come down the stretch here of who's going to be the weekend starters, who's coming out of the bullpen. How do you handle that if you're Vitello? But – it was a rough one last night. They had all these runners in scoring position last night and left them stranded on the base path. So I say Tennessee loses the weekend series to Kentucky. If Michelle was here right now, she'd be going crazy.
She would not like that. I'll give you one more for me because I had to look this up. This weekend, Ronald Acuna Jr., the beloved outfielder for my beloved Atlanta Braves, as the Braves are back at home taking on the Brew Crew. Ronald Acuna Jr. will hit his first home run of the season.
Oh, boy. Not like that. Let's go to our text line.
Big fly.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Chris on the text line says, called shot. Spoelstra to the Lakers. Book it, Robbie. There's a 0%.
What would that do to you?
It would hurt very bad, but he's not going anywhere. Eventually, Eric Spoelstra will not be coaching anymore. He will be doing what Pat Riley is doing right now, which is basically running the franchise. But Eric Spoelstra, he's not going anywhere.
You know, that's another thing, too. He's been there, what, 15 years? Longer than that, maybe?
He's been the head coach for going on 12 or 13 now. He's been there for 20, 25 years.
Yeah, I mean, like, that guy's a lifer in Miami. Like, that's pretty impressive. Now, the question is, who is going to be the next coach of the Lakers?
I don't know.
Like, they've kind of run through everybody.
LeBron, player coach?
Yeah, LeBron, maybe.
Steven in the Borough texting in says, I know this is bold and it's never going to happen, but let us dream Pecorine rises from the ashes of retirement to come back and save the Preds one last time.
There it is.
And the Preds beat the Avalanche in seven games.
Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, Bridgestone Arena, Paul McCann comes over the PA. Yes. We have an announcement to make. General Manager David Poyle has announced that the Predators have signed Pecorine to a one-year contract, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin's music hits, and Pekka comes out and just points at his number the whole time. Like, yeah, I'm here. There you go.
Talk about the building going nuts. That would help with the environment.
They might literally blow the roof off if that actually happened. I mean, I would be just as excited, but there's no chance.
No.
Unless he's been secretly working out and training for the past –
well, I think at this point it literally can't happen. Like, it's illegal for it to happen. So it's not going to happen. But dream.
There you go.
Go ahead. Keep dreaming on the text line. That's fine with me.
Could probably pull that off in, like, NHL 22 or something.
Yeah, definitely. Mark from Ashland City on the text line says, Tampa will win four straight and beat Toronto in five. The Grizzlies and Celtics will play for the NBA title, and Philip Forsberg will sign with the LA Kings to reunite with his best bud, Victor Arvidsson. I've heard a lot of
everybody is
speculation to the
that.
Kings. Yeah.
Financially, that would be a dumb move on his part.
It would be.
Because I don't think anyone's going to offer him. One, he loses the extra year.
Yep.
And two, I don't know if anyone's really going to offer him over 9.5. Maybe 10, but even if it's 10 in LA, you'd still make more here.
Yeah.
You know, making 8.5 or
a few
nine.
Taxes out there.
So just
gotta
a few.
Pay. Yeah.
Just a few.
Tyler on the text line says the winner of the Golden State Memphis series will win the championship. So Tyler's saying this Grizzlies Warriors series is like the de facto NBA finals. I like that.
I think it's could be. I mean, Phoenix is going to have something to say about that, I think, but because that would be the Western Conference matchup.
Jared from Dixon texting in says, this year Tannehill will end up choking right at the playoffs, so they'll put in Malik Willis at the end, and he'll take us to the Super Bowl and be a big sensation. That's coming from Jared from Dixon on the text line.
That will be a result of all the mentoring that Tannehill has. I'm sorry, Logan Woodside would have done at that point.
Clay in Cunningham texting in says, my call your shot was going to be we lose Forsberg, but get Gaudreau instead. Last texter got it in before me. So losing Philip Forsberg, but the Preds signed Johnny Hockey from the Flames. I assume he's talking Johnny Gaudreau and not Freddie Gaudreau.
Okay. Would you take that? It's not a trade, but would you take that? Like if that's the result, if Forsberg leaves and you get Johnny Hockey, like are you satisfied with that?
Johnny Gaudreau put up like 113 points this
year. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's an upgrade.
Yeah.
So
probably an upgraded price too, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but it goes back to if the price for Forsberg, let's say, is 10, and you're just not willing to do that, and you're going to pay 10 to 12 for Johnny Hockey, I think it's a little more – it's overpaying across the board, but it's a little more worth it.
It would be very interesting.
Better player.
If that's the way things – check out. We'll continue to take your call shots, your bold predictions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get Teron Davenport's thoughts on the Ryan Tannehill comments on Malik Willis and the Titans as a whole as they sit here after the draft. How do they stack up in the AFC South? All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.